I'm humbled to be speaking here because I have some butterflies in my stomach. Humbled because what I have learned is from the States about the mystery, from UK, and from Australia. And because of that, I don't think I can add any more to people in the States, especially the teachers. However, I would like to thank the Lord because there are so many firsts that happened to us when we came here. First, this is the first time that we were ever granted visa to visit your country. First time. I was requested or invited in 1989 and we were denied, thinking probably that we will not return to the Philippines. Then, the next first is that this year, my daughter was married in California, and she invited me to officiate the wedding. That's my first marriage that happened in my life in another country. I was granted a day was deputized for a day to solemnize that marriage. And that's another first. And then, this is the first time that I ever attended the conference of the mystery group in the States. And the fourth first is actually when we came out of the plane from Atlanta and was met by a policeman. First in my life. Had it not been for information beforehand, I would have been scared to death. But that's also the first time that we were taken down from the plane to the tarmac, which only happens in my country, to VIPs, to very important people like senators. They do not go through immigration, they do not go through the usual procedures, but going down from the plane to the tarmac and to the cars, and that happens to us. That's what artist said. You are a very important person, and I thank the Lord for that. And the next best thing is that I know that he is a mystery man. Wow, there's so many firsts that happens to us. Now, my problem is, how can I share from scriptures the things that is in my heart? But allow me to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. Ephesians 3, 9 says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." Now, since I became a believer in the mystery way back in 1978, when I was an instructor in a Bible school of the Mid-Acts group, people probably in the area of Wisconsin would know the group called Things to Commission, that was headed by Stamm, Cornelius Stamm, Richard Jordan, and Charles Baker. And these are the groups that I have been with since I became a Christian. I studied in their Bible school for 3 years, and then afterwards I became a pastor. I worked with them for about 8 years. Then I was recalled to the school to become a Bible teacher. And in that Bible school experience, I was confronted with Galatians 3:7-9. Because if you're aware, Acts mid-group believers believe that the church began, the church of the body of Christ, began in Acts 9 or 13. And their epistles, they believe that our instructions for today are all the epistles written by Paul, beginning from Romans up to the book of Timothy. Although we were taught that there are 7 pre-prison epistles written during the Acts, and also 7 other epistles after Acts, but they consider all 14, including the book of Hebrews, of course, they taught us that these are instructions for heaven. But when I was teaching Galatians, I found out that Galatians 3:9 seems to contradict what we have been teaching, because it says in 3:9, or 3:7 rather, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." And we were teaching that Abraham, in my chart here, Genesis 12, is the beginning of the nation of Israel when he was called. And so, if Abraham, the father of Israel, had been called in Genesis 12 here, all the things afterwards are God's dealing with the nation of Israel. And so when I read this, the same became children of Abraham. And then down in 9, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." And to me, to be blessed with Abraham is where Abraham is, they would be there because of the word "with." Now, this one little word "with" is the little word that changes everything. If this group here, the Galatians people, during the Acts, were saved and became children of Abraham and blessed with faithful Abraham, then they will be with Abraham in the kingdom, in the promised land. And so they cannot be in heaven. Because of that, I started to ask myself, where is the answer? And luckily, in the library that we have, on the last shelf, on the corner of the last shelf, are books of Mr. Wells. Even Truth for Today are there, but never read. They receive these books, they receive TFT, but they never read them. And when I open one book of Mr. Wilts and find out that the distinction between pre-prison epistle and post-acts epistles are actually making a dispensational difference, I said to myself, this is the answer. Right then and there, I asked my wife to study with me. Because if I decide to go for the truth, which I believe it is, I have to have my wife convinced. Otherwise, I would have somebody always going to make a problem for me if my wife will not agree. Because I believe also that the moment I took that step towards accepting the truth of the mystery, I will lose my job. And I did. One day after that, after I told them I no longer believe what we are teaching, I was given a marching order to get out of Bible school. Well, I go for the truth. God is with me. Never mind the Bible school. My only problem is, where do I go from there? I do not know of any group that also believe in the Philippines the same kind of belief as the mystery group. So it seems to be a very lonely road. It is a lonely road. Very hard to take. 5 children. But if my wife, I said to myself, if my wife agrees, the children is going to follow. Because they are still young. That's 1978, and our eldest, I think, is only about 7 or 8. So my wife says, you're the head. Where you go, I go. That's fact. So we decided to go back to Manila. And in Manila, I started to study more and more through the books given me by a lady. I do not know if you have heard of a lady named Dr. Lenstrom from California. She is a contributor to the mission that I work for, but she is an Acts 28 believer. She has all the books of Welch and some books of Bollinger, and when she learned that a teacher became a heretic, she learned it from the letters from the mission. When she learns that one turns away from the mid-Acts position and become Acts 28, a heretic group, she sent me a letter. It said, I'm sending you all the books that my husband, late husband, has left behind. And she sent it to me. That's the sources where I learned the truth. Now, since I have learned the truth, I have read Ephesians 3:9-12. And I will read it again in a different way. To make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known through the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the purpose of the ages which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now, I think this is our great commission. This is our marching order to do the work for the mystery. One, to make all men see, although the all men does not include everyone. Because an unbeliever would not understand the message of the mystery. So this would probably be limited to believers in Christ. And that is one reason why sometimes we get or hear comments from other groups that we are not into evangelism because we do confine our ministry to believers. But they do not know that one of the commandments that we have is in 1 Timothy 2:4 or 4 and 5. Let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, who, referring to God, will have all men see, will have all men to be saved. That's another ministry, part of the ministry. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, for the believers in Christ. Here we have evangelism in the teaching of the mystery. But we cannot just follow our commission without preparing ourselves. I think that's the most important work that everyone has to accomplish before he can do the ministry. When the Lord provided for us 2 Timothy 2:15, the word study, which is, I think, better translated diligence, it included studying, commitment, and many other things so that you go into the Scripture, follow it diligently. And the very idea of right division is so that we have a key to understand this Scripture. And the most important thing that I found in that verse is that so that we could be an approved workman, not before people, but before God, approved of God, even if other people will not approve what we are doing. And this is the thing that should actually make us strong and be diligent in doing the ministry, for we are not after the applause of men, but rather the approval of God. But of course, there are so many things that are involved in our lives. And these are the cares of the family, cares of necessary things in life, and sometimes this distracts us from going into the Scripture deeper and deeper. Well, the Lord would understand. When we go back to Ephesians 3, to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, we should have a good understanding of this dispensation of the mystery, to be a workman that should not be ashamed and be approved of God. One part of this ministry is to people. The second part is one that I am so amazed, and that is in the 10th verse. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers, which I think refers to angels in the heavenlies, might be known through the church, the body, the members of the mystery group, what is the manifold wisdom of God. That's a very interesting ministry. The angels before never knew the plan of God. As Peter has said, they keep on looking as to what those are. But when the Scripture has been finished, when the second epistle of Timothy was written, they already knew that's the plan of God, the complete plan of God. What they do not probably understand and needs a little teaching is this one. That low creatures of this earth, saved by grace, studying Scripture, strengthened by the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, do not need the ministry of angels to be able to stand for the truth. That they do not know. So, our way of teaching them is actually letting them know how we live the doctrine that we believe. And this is one, I think, one of the most important things that we should consider. We may memorize all the teaching in the doctrine of the mystery, but if we cannot live them, we cannot practice them in life, it would be useless. It's not a tool for a ministry. People may be looking at us as good teachers and good speakers. But how do we live our life in relation to those things that we say? The Apostle Paul has been very clear in this in the book of Ephesians. 1 to 3 is doctrine, 4 to 6 is practice. And if we are not convinced how God has been so gracious to us, we can just go back to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in some correct translation says that we were given so much grace in the Beloved. Not that we were accepted, but we, low sinners saved by grace, have received so much grace, only comparable to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Because the word there has been used only twice in the New Testament. One for Mary and one for us, members of this body. If we can just conceptualize what we have received, especially when it says in verse 3 that all or every spiritual blessings in heavenly places is given us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's something that is new. And then verse 4 says, according us, in relation to the plan. In this plan, has been the first that was inserted in the plan of God. In the mind of God, this is the first. When He created Genesis 1:1, created the heavens and the earth, the first that was mentioned is the heavens where we will be. First in the plan. We were chosen before the overthrow. Although the implementations of that program later on come after Acts 28. But we were chosen before the overthrow, even before He started the plan for the earthly program. And this to me is one thing the Creator who has chosen us has called everyone that He has chosen. Not even considering who we are. Because He knew beforehand that we will all positively accept what He will tell us in Scriptures. I usually do not cry. Here we are, the third part of the program of God. These two, 1 to 11, is for earth, the promised, the paradise. This one is for the promised land, and this one for heaven. This is where we are called. But we were in the plan of God before the overthrow of that earth. And the purpose of choosing us is found in the last phrase, that we should be holy without blame before Him. It's always before God, acceptability before God, approval before God, be holy before God, never before people. Because sometimes, if we consider and we respect persons, then we might go astray. But this is always before God. And it says that we should be holy without blame before Him. Now, this is something that is quite a standard that he wants us to achieve. And he doesn't give such a standard if it is not achievable. How can we do this? Well, go to Titus. In the epistle written to Titus, it says in verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. I always change the reading of godliness into godlikeness. I do not know if I'm correct there. Okay, thank you. It says that what God has given to the Apostle Paul, the truth that he has given him, and now is written, is the faith according to the faith of God's elect. In acknowledging this truth is going to make us godlike. Well, somehow we will not achieve this maybe in this lifetime, but we should try. We should try. But if we will be obedient to God's will in our lifetime, I don't think God will not grant that opportunity that our life seen in this world would be without blame and be holy before Him. See, He looks at the head, He looks at our mind, He doesn't look at the appearance. And that's one thing that is good. Asians like me, Filipino like me, He looks at me like as if He looks at you. And that's what is good about this. Well, as I said, we were chosen before the foundation. In that little word before the foundation, that phrase before the foundation, when I was in Acts 9, I never knew the difference between sins, the foundation, from the foundation, as against before the foundation. Never had any idea what's the difference between those phrases. But now I know. And it is always a joy to be looking at scriptures and finding things that are different, things that really have been reserved for us, members of the body, anywhere we are in this world. You see, before the foundation we were chosen, we were called after Acts 28, sometime after 64 to 2009. And the only reason we were called is because He has chosen us. Not because of anything. He has chosen us. And you cannot question. Some people in the Acts 2 group would say, God is unfair. I said, why? Because you say you are the only group that is going to heaven. I said, yes. So he said, they would say, there's unfairness with God. I said, you do not know your God. Because God, in all His dealing with man, is never unfair nor unjust. He is always just and fair. And the reason we were made to see this truth is because by His foreknowledge, He knew that we will accept it. So it's a very humbling thing for us sinners, saved by grace, selected before or chosen before the foundation, and then called, and then given a ministry, even a ministry to the angels. Showing that sinners saved by grace, who understand the mystery, and walk by it, can walk according to the will of God without even the help of angels. Before, ministries of angels in the program of Israel are necessary. Now, I don't think so. Because the word of God is more powerful than the ministry of angels. And one thing that amazed me is, we were chosen before. Why? Why were we given the first place? Because we are to replace the angels that fell. We are the group of people that will replace the angels in the heavenly places. You believe that? A certain number of angels fell. And a certain number of sinners saved by grace will be replacing them. That's why when the Lord Jesus Christ died at the cross, according to Colossians 1:20, that reconciliation that was made at the cross for the mystery is that reconciliation so that when we go now to heaven, there would be no more problem, no complaint whatsoever from those that are there. Because we were chosen, we were trained, we were disciplined, we were actually in Christ, and we can do the things that God has given us in this particular dispensation. And the number of people that will be replacing them is the actual number of the angels that fell. Now, that's only an idea. I cannot find a scripture verse for that. But we will be going to heaven, to the place where the angels will be, are. And I think that the end of the mystery, which we call the appearing in glory, would be the time when every chosen member has already been called. And my idea is, you do not have to take this, my idea is the number of the members of the body would be equal to the numbers of the angels that fell to replace them. Well, it's only an idea. And so, given this grace that we have in Ephesians 1:6, if we can only imagine all the things that are written in the first chapter, where the word according is used, nothing is done in this particular time of us apart from the plan of God. It is always according to the riches of His grace, which is in the plan of God, according to His purpose, which is in the plan of God, according to many, many things, according to the good pleasure of His will. And then, in verse 11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Never our own will, His will, and always according to that purpose. And it will never go wrong. Not one of this purpose is not going to be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. Now, let me reread again, verse 11. In whom also we were made an inheritance. Not that we have obtained an inheritance, but we were made an inheritance. Imagine we were made His inheritance. And to me, an inheritance is something bequeathed to somebody, and it is something precious. And in the hands of Christ, we are His inheritance. What a wonderful truth. An inheritance that is destined for greater things, for greater heights, because we were part of that special purpose that is centered upon Jesus Christ in verse 11 of chapter 3. So no matter where we are, our one marching order is that we should make believers see what is this dispensation of the mystery which was entrusted to us through the writings of the Apostle Paul after Acts 28. And we not only have to tell other believers, but we should live the truth so that the angels above would be able to see how wonderful is the manifold wisdom of God, that even lowly sinners saved by grace can do the work as long as they are obedient to His will. I think the most important thing is that Jack has told me once that it is not that we should seek God's will for us, but rather seek His will for the world. You see, somewhere I think I have heard some people that I usually would like to thank in the States have already gone to sleep. And the term seems to be asleep in what? In Christ? How about asleep in the Lord? I think everybody here can call Christ a Savior. Everybody here can call Christ as Lord. And everybody, I think, can call Christ as Head. In these three different titles, seems to give an impression that somewhere along the line there should be this growing up into maturity. Savior is the first step. In the Lord is when we consider Him as Master of our life and Head to direct everything that we do. Asleep in the Lord. Those who work for the Lord can be considered asleep in the Lord if He leaves us. How wonderful it would be. Someday, we'll see each other again. But first, I have to thank the Lord for this. Secondly, to some people that I know here in the States, the late Dr. Holman, I think Dr. Stagg, Merrill, Oscar Baker, and the one living person, Barney. They have been a great help. Truth for Today, yes, as an organization, has been helping the Philippines in literature. And we were grateful to them, for they send us literature for free. Although I know that it cost a lot to print them. I only asked them that if they would send books, that they should also at least give me an idea who they are that are receiving these books and requesting these books, for that people sometimes who request books and sold them and not use it. I can contact all these people because we are in the same country. But I have to thank many people here who have been praying for us also. I know Jack, Bob, even if we have not seen each other yet, and this is the first time, I have to thank you for this. Well, lastly, before, I think we would be leaving tonight. We may not be able to finish the conference because before we came, there were several families in San Francisco, Filipinos, who were part of our study many years back. And she's now working in the City Hall of San Francisco. And she requested that we also sleep with them there and have Bible study in their house. And so I have to accommodate them even before we were given the money by my daughter to come here. So we have to go back to Atlanta tonight, take the first flight out of Atlanta at 5 o'clock in the morning, and be in San Francisco, I think, about 8 or 10 o'clock in the morning. Sleep there. And then overnight, we'll be with them, have a study, and the following day, fly to L.A. for another Bible study for 3 nights, 12, 13, and 14. Those are, again, Filipinos who were with our study group before, but now are here in the States. So even if I like to stay and be sitting there and listen to some of you, because nobody has ever, I think, nobody has known the scripture, all of it. Somehow, some teachers, some who will be speaking here, would give another inspiration for us to continue working. Of course, the inspiration, as I said, like what Tony said, we should be filled by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, we should be led by the Holy Spirit and see the fruit of the Spirit. And that, I think, is very good. So even if we leave, even if we have heavy hearts to leave, I like the fellowship very much. Before we leave, I want to thank Ronnie. Been very kind, taking out us from Atlanta to here and giving us an accommodation at Days Inn. Thank you, Ron. Thank you. Well, to end this, let me just read from the book of Colossians in chapter 2. Beginning from verse 2, Colossians 2, verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Well, we'll just remove probably, as according to Dr. Bollinger, it should be even Christ. The secret of God is Christ. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing that we can be happy about. He died for us, for the sins, the penalty of sins. Now, freed from sins, He has given us so much in terms of grace. So much that we are even challenged to know more and more, according to Colossians 1, to grow more and more, because there's always room for improvement in everyone's life as a member of the body of Christ. So with this, knowing that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, I think we should always concentrate on the words written by the Apostle Paul, the living word, Christ, in the written word that we have loved so much, the mystery, Epistles, the truth of the mystery. Thank you very much. Amen.